History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He hates the Chiefs.
The first time ever, Mahomes goes 9-8.
He's delusional about his Bengals.
Joe Burrow's going to get the job done again because he's going to be healthy. And they're going to win, and they're going to go to New Orleans and be in the Super Bowl.
But he knows everything about college football. Here's the host of the 249 Miles of College Football podcast, Drew Nixon.
That's right, Drew Nixon. Of course, you hear him every day with the Coding Gold producer of that show, the executive producer. What's up, Drew?
What's up, Bank? How's it going?
Good. You don't sound good. You upset that the Bengals may not have what it takes today?
Oh, I was sick yesterday. I don't know what happened, but I was having body aches and I was not feeling very, very good. But feel much better today.
You mean the college football didn't spike you up, man? It didn't get you excited? Didn't pump you up? Because you're one of the guys that I have fun texting with during college football season.
Oh, it was really good yesterday. I was laying down in bed all day basically yesterday. But I did enjoy all the games Friday night, especially with all the locals, essentially outside of Missouri playing. It was an interesting Saturday. A lot of the better games you and I were texting, Bank, in the morning. And early on.
Which is really weird. Like the 11 a.m. slate, usually if you played a bunch of 11 a.m. games, it means you kind of sucked, right? And you always would put on there. But the way that they did all this pre-scheduling and times and stuff like that, I mean, I always like when the better games are at night. I hate the fact that I need four TVs during the 11 o'clock hour, which is what we had yesterday with the great games at 11 a.m.
Yeah, there were some really good ones. I think I'm with you. I like it when there's, instead of all of them being good at 11, I guess, you get in them sprinkled in throughout the day. Like, there's a couple good ones in the 11 a.m., like with the big noon kickoff or whatever. You get the 2:30 slate, then you get the 6 o'clock slate, 6:30 slate. We didn't really get that, but there's a week throughout the college football season that we have some iffy games that are throughout the week and in the schedule. I mean, the two of the best games, actually, in terms of watching, were on Friday, actually.
Yeah, well, let's start with Friday night, and let's start with Kansas State because they got the W in that game. Kansas State has been fantastic on defense in the second half of games. And Arizona provided a good challenge to them. I mean, Arizona, you know, I knew Ted Aroa McMillan was going to get his, and he did. He did. And Noah Fafita, you know, going back to Servite High School in California, then one of the best leagues in high school football, they played together. They've got that down. But, man, Kansas State in the second half of games, and especially the secondary that looks so bad against Menza, redshirt freshman at Tulane, look completely different against Arizona. That was a damn impressive win for Kansas State, and that including some bad clock management issues at the end of the half.
Yeah, they had a little bit of issue going into halftime, but still, as you said, they just dominated. And McMillan, he had 11 catches for 138 yards, but it was a quiet 138 yards. They didn't get gashed for anything. It wasn't like there was a huge play that stood. I mean, I think the guy, I mean, you and I were texting, Bank, the guy could be top 10 overall in the next draft coming up in 2025. So for them to allow 138 yards, that's expected maybe for a guy that's going to bag that many yards and go that high in the draft. Otherwise, I mean, Noah Fafita, they put some pressure on him. They limited the run game out, and they just got in control of the game, Dink. I mean, Avery Johnson, I think some of the talk before was they need to unleash Avery Johnson. I don't think this game was any different, really, than the Tulane game, but you saw his running ability, Avery Johnson's running ability, flash a little bit more than we have previously, and him being able to be trusted within the offense, and Connor Riley and Matt Wells just letting him do his thing, and it was efficient, it was good, and big plays made again by the K-State defense. This is one of those wins, Bink, I think we come back to, by them getting tested against Tulane and then having this game in the non-conference schedule. This can really put K-State forward in regards to confidence, in regards to respect, I think, across the country, in regards to, hey, this team is legit, and maybe even if they don't win the Big 12, they could maybe sneak their way in To the college football playoff. But right now, I would say K-State should be the favorite to win the Big 12.
Arizona or Utah, without Cam Rising, they struggled early on against Utah State, ended up putting them away. So that was good. But how about Kansas State? You know, they've allowed a touchdown in the fourth quarter the last 2 weeks. They've allowed 10 second-half points all year. And Avery Johnson, I felt, played a lot more confident this week. This running game at Kansas State, like, if they build a lead, they can suffocate you. If they build a lead, they can 100%. Suffocate you with the running game. And that was the key. Just go out and get a big lead early for Kansas State, then suffocate them with a dominant running game.
Yeah, DJ Giddens again had a good day. I thought Dylan Edwards might get a couple more touches. He had the big punt return. So whenever I'm really interested to see if they continue. Right now they're playing so well, I don't know if they need to change anything. But going down as we get into Big 12 play, DJ Giddens, not that he's going to wear down, but he's getting enough carries where maybe you need to take some of the load off. Dylan Edwards, through three games, anytime he touches the ball, seems to be an electric play. Punt return, long touchdown run, long run in general. I mean, six carries for 41 yards for Dylan plus the punt return.
Yeah,
when he's used, he is always making a big-time play for this offense.
Yeah, and how about K-State? 62 kicker punt returns since 2005, the most in college football. Impressive. Kansas, not impressive at all. And for two straight weeks, started off good. I'm like, okay, they're moving the ball. They're going to be fine. I mean, Devin Neal, I think, is a top 10. I think he's a top 7 running back heading towards the draft next year. Jalen Daniels just does not look the same. And you and I talked about Drew. I mean, he's got 6 picks already this season. And that's the part that's killing Kansas, is the turnovers. But this whole season was going to bank on him being better. And losing your offensive coordinator to Penn State, Kolnicki, that was with Lance Leipold at Wisconsin Whitewater, at Buffalo, at Kansas, this has hurt the team because there were some bad coaching decisions in this game. And I'm shocked to say that, but there was.
It's very odd for a Lance Leipold team to have mistakes like this. But, I mean, you mentioned Jalen Daniels, 3 touchdowns to 6 picks this season. That's the ratio. The absence of Andy Koltunecki, I think, as you mentioned, Bink, is more evident than I think maybe we originally thought it was going to be going into the season, because we thought we knew Jalen Daniels is a good enough player going into the season where maybe his talent can – make up for the loss, if you will. Jeff Grimes is a fine coordinator. He's all right, but I don't know if whatever he wants Jalen to do, I don't know if there's a full trust there. I mean, Bink, there was a minute 30 left to go in the game, a minute 20 left in the game, and they're running the football with Devin Neal. And I understand that Devin Neal is your best player, but you have to throw the football, and he's running the ball with a minute 20 left to go in the game, and they're in minus territory. And I'm sitting watching the game, like, what the heck is going on here? I know that to me, it was evident that he doesn't trust Jalen Daniels to make those throws, and maybe it's because of the interceptions. I don't know. But it doesn't seem like there's the full trust from Jeff Grimes in Jalen Daniels to do what they need to do to win games. And I wouldn't be surprised if the turnovers continue for Kansas and for Jalen Daniels, if at some point Lance Leipold's like, look, we need to try to salvage something out of this season, or I need to see what I've got in my crew, because they've got West Virginia on the road, a tough game next week. TCU's looked really good. Those are the next 2 games. Who's to say anything's going to change? But 2 tough losses, and Kansas is the one to blame for all of them. It's not like they've gotten beat. Bing, they've just beat themselves.
Yeah, no question. And UNLV is a good football team. I mean, it is. I mean, it is a team that Kansas did beat in a bowl game last year. Barry Odom's there. Of course, Kansas fans know Barry Odom from his days at Mizzou. He was the Mountain West Coach of the Year. I mean, that was a good UNLV team that they played. Missouri Tigers, you know, hadn't allowed a point going into the Boston College game. Blake Baker has now left Missouri. Of course, he left to be the defensive coordinator of LSU. Boston College and Thomas Castellanos, their quarterback, very good. Missouri, 9 straight sellouts. They haven't done that since 1979, believe it or not. They've now won 19 straight games against non-conference opponents in Columbia. Luther Burden, 113 yards, did his deal. But, yeah, Missouri started slow. But, man, that second half, They dominated that game. I know that Boston College made a little bit interesting with 6 points there at the end. But Missouri got a good win because this Boston College team is a good football team and one that beat them a couple years ago in Massachusetts.
Yeah, BC is very well coached. I think one of the things coming into the game with Thomas Castellanos is he hadn't made any mistakes. You know, he hadn't – I think he only had – I don't even know if he threw an interception going into this game. He did not. I mean, he had – 6 touchdowns to no interceptions.
He's great on the ground. Great on the ground.
Yeah, he was one of the only quarterbacks in the country, Banks, to enter with no picks. He was like one of 7, I think, QBs to enter week 3 with no picks, and then Missouri was able to force him into some bad throws, some pressure. I know there was the one play where he fumbled the ball, basically. The defense got burned because they all rushed up. He just tossed the ball deep, and they scored 2 kind of weird plays while they scored touchdowns. But as you mentioned, they bared down, finished the first half well. We're well in control in the second half. I think, and we know how good Luther Burden is. They got him the ball. He made plays. Nate Noel might be a star in this offense. I know Marcus Carroll is more of the bell cow guy, but Nate Noel got the start yesterday. He had 22 carries, 120 yards, Bink.
Yeah, the transfer from App State.
But Nate Noel, I think, is a budding star in this offense. Brady Cook doesn't even have to be Caleb Williams. He doesn't have to be one of the top quarterbacks in the country for them to win games. And it's, you know, in part to their wide receiver unit and the fact that they've got really good running backs again. And the offense was tested, but they came through, and it's a really good win for the Missouri Tigers.
Talking to Drew Nixon, of course, the producer for Cody and Gold, and he also does a podcast each week. You can check it out on the 435 Podcast Network at 96.5thefan.com. 249 miles of football as Drew breaks down games collegially. I want to ask you about 3 games nationally that I thought were interesting. The Georgia-Kentucky game actually ended up pretty damn good. However, it is Georgia's. They were on the road at Kentucky. Kentucky is a team that was hammered by South Carolina. And, of course, we saw them lose to LSU yesterday and blow a 17-0 lead. Georgia wins for the 15th straight time over Kentucky. I don't care that the game is close because great teams find a way to win. It's like the Chiefs. They play close games. They still found a way to win. It was on the road, tough environment. I'm not looking at Georgia any less because of this game, 1-point win.
Yeah, that was one of the things that Kirby Smart said previously, or after the game, is previously they've had games where they've been tested. And every team, I think, seems to have gone through that. Like Georgia was even tested against Missouri here recently, and they found a way to, you know, to get it done. I think that, to your point of good teams get it done no matter what, not to say that Kroger Field isn't a great environment or is a great environment or others aren't better than that. But, I mean, it is an SEC environment. And they were fired up because they're hosting Georgia, and you're always going to get everybody's best game. And Brock Vandegrift had a solid game against his former team, and they looked really good. But the defense for Georgia is still the defense that we're used to seeing in terms of its dominance. And I think there are maybe some questions from Carson Beck. Just there were some throws that he didn't quite make, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's not just a one-off. But going down the stretch, when you look at Georgia's schedule against Alabama next week, Texas in a few weeks, they play Ole Miss, they play Tennessee. Carson Beck's going to have to make plays. He's only been behind going into last night 17 snaps in his career. He only has the one win, and that's the one that just came last night against Kentucky. So he's going to be tested a lot more later this season. I'll be interested to see how he does because he is up for potentially being the number one overall pick selected.
And, of course, look at Texas and what happened there. That was an interesting game to me. UTSA was a team that, you know, some people thought may make the playoffs as one of the group of 5 teams. But Quinn Ewers, and I know there's going to be a lot of talk, Quinn Ewers or Arch Manning. Quinn Ewers, let's remind people, he was 14 of 16 for 185 yards and 2 touchdowns before he was hurt. Enter Arch Manning, 9 of 12, 223 yards, 4 touchdowns, plus a 67-yard touchdown run. That's 5 touchdowns from Arch. Quinn Ewers was still good in this game. That's going to be interesting because a lot of times you don't want to rock the boat, but Arch Manning showed, man, this Texas team is loaded at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think he entered and looked really good. I will say, and this will go into who I think should be starting going forward, UTSA got beat by 39 by Texas State, really good Sun Belt team.
Yeah.
There is a close game against Kennesaw State, who are new to the FBS. UTSA are not a very good football team. So not to say the Arch stats, his stats were, gassed a little bit, but I do think that playing a team like UTSA helped him out a little bit. He did look really good.
But Ewers did too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in a strained abdomen and stuff like this, but, and Arch Manning has the pedigree and everything else going forward.
And to that point, Bink, I think they start Quinn Ewers the rest of the way. They ride this thing out. Texas is set at quarterback. There's no question marks. Like, Arch is going to play next year. He's going to start. Whether he goes to the draft or not, that's obviously his decision. But Texas, in terms of them being a powerhouse again in college football, when Quinn Ewers leaves, nothing is going to change because they've got Arch Manning waiting in the wings, and they're going to be just as good next year as they are this year. So I think Sark has really got something going for him there. And props to Arch, too, for staying in a place that he likes. And, I mean, he's got enough NIL where it's going to take care of itself, but he's going to wait it out, and then he'll be ready to go, and they're going to be national title contenders just the same next year with him as a starting quarterback. He did really good.
I think Kevin Payton and the way he came back to Tennessee as his uncle and stuff like that and bounced things off them, but it's going to be bad. The fact that Texas probably only going to have him 1 year as a starter next year, and that's it before he goes to the NFL. The other game I wanted to talk about nationally, Colorado. They're 2-1. You know, a lot of people are, were trashing them last week because the way they lost to Nebraska, and I get that. I think they're too cocky, and going forward, and there's a lot of things you do or Sanders does. You're like, yeah, it's not a good look. But I'll say this about the team. People are still interested in it because the Nebraska-Colorado game is actually the second highest rated game last week. Now, they go in and they dominate Colorado State. I thought Colorado State would give them a much better game, but there is a difference with this Colorado team. They can play defense. They've given up just 6 points the last 2 weeks. They went seven quarters without allowing a touchdown. Because they went two last week, then five quarters without allowing a touchdown. And Colorado State got a garbage touchdown at the end. Robert Livingston is now their defensive coordinator. I wanted to ask you this, because he did coach the Bengals for a long time, secondary and a defensive backs coach for them. That has seemed to make the difference, because that's the one thing Colorado couldn't do last year is stop anybody, but they stopped Nebraska in the second half, and they really stopped Colorado State and Troy Horton, who was doing punt returns, which is really weird because he wasn't a factor in the receiving game. I thought he would be. Robert Livingston seems to have made the difference for that team. We know they got receivers. We know they got talent. But if they could play defense like this, they could be better than we think.
Yeah, that was always the big question, is can Colorado defensively stop anybody? And as you said, they did a really nice job in the second half of the Nebraska game. They shut out Colorado for the most part, didn't allow anything over the top, which they did multiple times last year. They seem to have turned the corner in that regard, and it's been impressive. I think for all the people who like to go after Deion and Shador and all that stuff, for the way that they act, whatever, but you can't help but say that this team is much better than they were last year, and that's where going into the season, they win 6 or 7 games. It's a really good season, for Deion this year. Given taking over the 1-11 program, you go 4-8. They're still going to talk because they believe that they're capable and they're really good, which is great. I mean, it's fine, good for them. I think they go 6-6 or 7-5, Bink. They are better, though, while watching. This is a different Colorado team. You are absolutely right.
Yeah, and Robert Livingston, I think, has made the difference on the defense. But, again,
that was always a question.
They have the best, Travis Hunter, the best player in college football on there. If they could just, take some humble pie, go around like that. But also breaking news, by the way, in the NFL, Evan Engram, it looks like he's out, according to Adam Schefter. He have 114 catches last year, a hamstring injury pregame and out today. So I don't know if you have that in your fantasy as far as Evan Engram today, but you may back out on that. All right, Drew, that's awesome. I love talking college football with you. Are you willing to be a Chiefs fan if they beat the Bengals today?
No, I'm always going to ride and die for my Bengals, man. Okay. I think the Bengals win 24-20, Bink. Come on now, Houdet, let's go.
Are you serious, Drew?
Yes, no.
Bink. Were you drunk last night or just sick?
I was sick. Okay. I was not drunk.
Are you drunk now?
No.
So you're being serious.
I will not be drinking anything.
Quentin, do you have anything to add to Drew?
I appreciate his honesty on the airwaves, If you're going to be a fan of a team, stick with it. I know he gets a lot of crap from the text line and from the midday show. Mm-hmm. Good for you, Drew.
Drew, I love talking
college. I'm glad this week is done. I can't wait for the game to be over with, win or lose, because I'm this week was a long week.
Yeah, I bet it was, and you'll probably have another long week in the postseason. Be fun. But, Drew, thanks for talking college football. Always enjoy it. It's a ton of fun. I love the college football season. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, Bing, it's always a blast. Thank you.
Thank you. There's Drew Nixon right there, 249 miles of college football, his podcast. It's really good stuff. I don't know if you had a chance to hear it, but it's awesome. We'll look at the AFC West coming up next, plus our phone line, 913-586-7965, if you'd like to add in more commentary on Hollywood Brown. Next. And welcome back. Jay Binkley, executive producer Quentin Morris, taking you to noon.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Where the great Art Haynes takes over. Chiefs talk the whole time. You get Chiefs and you get the Chiefs game. You don't even have to leave your dial. It's 96.5. The Fan, by the way, if you're looking for Vern, he'll be on 610 because we have things. The Fan AM 610. We've got that. We've got 96.5 The Fan. Or so we're able to do two things at the same time. So it'll be the Chiefs staying on here. Vern will come up now on 610 Sports Radio for the pregame against those Pittsburgh Pirates to try to get the sweep. By the way, Jake Eisenberg, of course, Royals broadcaster, tweeted this out. The Royals have allowed just 53 stolen bases, by far the fewest in MLB. The next closest team is the Red Sox, which have allowed 89. It's 36 more. Perez and Fermin have combined to throw out 27 of 80 base stealers, 34% caught stealing rate. That's damn impressive.
And Freddie Fermin is a big chunk of that because Freddie Fermin has thrown out nearly half the runners that have tried to steal bases on him. So yeah, Freddie Fermin is an underrated part of this Royals baseball team. He has been all year. He's been one of your more effective bats. He's allowed Salvador Perez to take time off and play first base. So yeah, and especially now with Vinny out, now Perez has to play more first base, and you're comfortable with that because Freddie has been such a good catcher.
And Freddie's been playing great at first base.
So Freddie Fermin has been a phenomenal player for what the Royals have asked him to do. It's not easy to not be an everyday player. Freddie deserves a lot of credit.
I think it's funny because, you know, during the 14 and 15 playoff runs, it was funny because you'd have Sal Perez just screwing around playing shortstop, you know, in pregame and stuff, just having fun with it. He's just an athlete. He's just great at it. And of course, he's never going to do that, but it shows how good of a talent that he is. And who cares about, you know, he's gotten bigger, yes, but he's so fluid what he does.
Well, and what I'll always remember, partially because I have the newspaper, the Kansas City Star, of the picture when they won the 15 World Series, and it's Drew Butera that's running and hugging Wade Davis on the mound. But you see in the distance, it's Salvador Perez running towards the mound.
Yeah, because they had to pull him out, you know, pinch run for him.
Exactly, but, yeah.
You know, it was Butera who caught the final out in New York. All right, let's look at the AFC West at this point, Quentin. What do you think about the AFC West? Well, the Chargers, I think, can be a viable team. They're going to go to 2-0 today because they play the Carolina Panthers, which are absolute total crap. Let's be honest with you.
They are so bad.
They're so bad. The Chargers at the Panthers, the Chargers, you know, all look great. You know, they've moved in the right tackle. The offensive line looks so – they don't miss Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. He's not playing because Keenan Allen, it hadn't been that great. But wide receiver, Ladd McConkey is going to be good for that team. Quinn Johnson keeps dropping footballs. That could be a problem. But Justin Herbert locked in for that team.
Yeah, it's going to be a smash. It's going to be a smash fest. They're just going to run the ball again. And I don't think there's anybody on the Panthers defense that can stop them. I mean, they lost their best defender last week to injury. The Panthers did. And even when they were fully healthy, Derek Carr blew them out of the water down in New Orleans. So yeah. So this game, while it's in Carolina today, I imagine that the Chargers are just going to run the ball 90% of the time, and it's going to be effective. So the Chargers are going to look really good this week. I don't think it's going to be indicative of what they are as a team moving forward. You know, I think that the Harbaugh effect will start to play more next year than it did that it does this year. The team's going to look more competent because you have an actual head coach head coaching that team that they haven't had that in, what, 5-6 years?
But Harbaugh likes to run. I mean, hence, look at Michigan, the way they're running the ball now compared to when Harbaugh was there. They did have 176 yards rushing against the Raiders. Let's not forget the old Baltimore backfield the Chargers have now.
Yeah.
J.K. Dobbins was the guy that, like, during the year, I was like, in the Chiefs, you know, had looked at J.K. Dobbins and thought about it. I was 100% for it because if you get a healthy J.K. Dobbins, who's been, you know, bad luck with injuries the last couple of years, he had 135 yards and a touchdown last week on just 10 carries. Then Gus Edwards from Baltimore, that's out there too, added a number of 26 yards on the ground. So that's the old Baltimore backfield in L.A. now as they've gone with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think the Chargers are going to win this game, and the Chargers are going to look pretty good in this game.
Yeah, definitely the Chargers over the Panthers in this game. The Raiders are an interesting story. I still think they're it's like a board game. I look at, you know, it's go back to the start. It's like when you're advancing, then you go back because not having a quarterback. You know, Gardner Minshew is not the answer for that team. But they get to go play an angry Baltimore Ravens team today on the road. This could spell ugly for the Raiders.
They are going to get smashed. And you almost feel bad for the Raiders. Almost.
I know.
Almost feel bad. But they're going to get beat up by the Ravens because the Ravens are mad. They're pissed off about what happened on last Thursday. They were whining about it for 10 days.
It looks like Van Noy might actually play.
I
remember
know.
All the crying he did?
Yeah, despite, you know, his injury was so bad, you know, that he was crying about it. Now he's going to be back in play.
His Fesco called him Karen.
Yes.
Karen Van Noy.
So, yeah, it's going to be... It's going to be bad for the Raiders and, you know, couldn't happen to a better team. That defensive front is good for the Raiders, but when you have no linebackers and no corners that can defend, you know, the backfield on the defense, it doesn't matter how good your pass rush is going to be, because if you don't have linebackers that can cover the flats and corners that can't cover anything else, you can just throw the ball quickly out if your offensive line can't hold up. So
I do like Brock Bowers. That's the one thing that I do like for the Raiders at this point. As far as the other game, the AFC West, the Steelers and the Broncos, that'll be at 3:25 the same time the Chiefs are playing the Bengals. Steelers are weird. You know, this whole Russell Wilson thing, and I understand why he dressed out. He was the emergency quarterback. People are like, wait, why the hell is he dressed out? Well, that was why. Playing the Broncos, is Bo Nix going to be the answer? I think Bo Nix may have a long career as a backup quarterback in the NFL. Of course, he could be good. I don't know. I mean, I've just always been kind of down on I loved him in college. It's just a different game at the pros. Sean Payton, I mean, he took the job in Denver, you know, banking, you know, on Russell Wilson in the beginning. You know, can he fix him? Because he, you know, he came in there, you know, a lot of swag, you know, he's going to change things, was real critical on the previous administration with Nathaniel Hackett. And everything kind of stayed the same. They did get a little bit of run there. But the Steelers at the Broncos, I look for the Broncos to go 0-2 today.
Yeah, I think that if the Steelers defense could do that against those weapons with Atlanta, you know, I think that the Steelers defense can do a lot better against a rookie quarterback. You know, quality head coaches have great records against rookie quarterbacks because they're just going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at Nick's today, Mr. Bo Pix. And he's going to look awful. I know last week they were throwing the ball. They were doing a lot of easy checkdowns to try and get some yards after the catch. If you look at his passing chart, Bo Nix, that is, it was not anything to be impressed by. And I think that's the way the offense is going to try and run in Denver for the rest of the year. It's not like they have any elite weapons on the outside. So they're going to try and do a lot of quick stuff. And the Mike Tomlin defense is going to eat up today. TJ Watt, I mean, come on. He's going to get in the backfield so many times. I wouldn't be surprised if we see another sack fumble from that defense.
A better first week performance. TJ Watt, who should have got a sack strip fumble, but because he wasn't offsides and it was ruled that. Or Micah Parsons. Because, I mean, that's kind of a draw on it, because I think Micah Parsons was unreal against the Browns.
Yeah.
He lines up everywhere.
He really does. And you've got three top edge rushers in the league right now that are all unique in what they do. And you've got Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, and Micah Parsons. And they're all just so unique and so great. And I just don't imagine that this Broncos offensive line holding up against TJ Watt the entire game. And then on the flip side of it, I know the Steelers offense is not good. I know that, but It's not like the Broncos have anything special on defense either. Can they get it down to where they can score one touchdown, kick a couple field goals, and they can call it good?
Also on the day, the Saints and the Cowboys, both these teams 1-0. The Buccaneers and Lions, actually, I think it's a pretty interesting game. You know, Baker Mayfield showing that Cleveland shouldn't have given up on him at this point. But the Bucs at 1-0 against the Lions, 1-0. Did they really fight last weekend to get that win? But that, to me, is a really good game at noon to watch.
Yeah, I'm in on the Bake Show, as I said, on the Fantasy Football.
The Bake Show.
Yeah, I'm in on the Bake Show. I think that Baker Mayfield should not have been given up. I thought he got a lot of crap being up in Cleveland because of his commercials and his attitude that he had on the field. I thought he got a lot of hate from people that he shouldn't deserve it. He's a good football player. The Cleveland screwed him when they kept playing him. It was one of those situations where the team needs to defend a player from himself. He should have had surgery. He should have sat out for the rest of that year, but he put that stupid brace on, and it affected his ability to throw the ball. So, yeah, I'm in on Baker Mayfield. Let's go Tampa Bay.
Colts at the Packers, and I know the Colts lost in week one. They're now at 0-10-1 in their last 11 games to start the season. They always lose that first game at the Packers. Jordan Love was listed as questionable. Did you see that? Probably not going to play, but all the thought is how many weeks is he going to be out? They got to be careful with that because that's their meal ticket, man, and that's someone they paid a lot of money to. Don't want to re-aggravate his injury.
Yeah, that's one of those things where
he won't play today,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, he won't play today, but it's one of those things where sort of like the Baker Mayfield situation, you got to protect Jordan Love from himself, right? You got to make sure he stays out. Now, the Packers are historically very conservative on injuries. They don't tend to bring guys back early. So I imagine that Jordan Love's going to be out for the next, it's 6 to 8 week injury. So I imagine it's going to be more towards that 8 week injury point, especially if there's a bye week right around there. He'll probably stay out after the bye week. But I, despite all that, I still have the Packers winning this game. I think Anthony Richardson is really good, but this is still kind of his rookie year. I think that the Packers are good on defense, and they're going to be able to stop some of those big plays that Anthony Richardson is capable of. I think the Packers are going to win this game.
Jets at Titans. Jets are a mess. Robert Saleh, maybe the first coach fired this year, to be honest with you. It just didn't work out. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is still a damn good quarterback, but again, that team is not gelling, and San Francisco just, you know, bullied them up, beat them up in Frisco in week one. Against the Titans, they went out and got the dream team on defense this year, blew a lead, which really kind of lent into my, is Will Levis really your answer?
No, the mayo man is not your answer. I can't cheer for anybody that puts mayo in their coffee.
That is weird, man.
Yeah.
I know people put mayo on hot dogs. Why the hell would you put it in your coffee?
It's disgusting. But I mean, remember that pick six he threw to Chicago yesterday? Or last week, right? He was like falling to the ground and he hoofed it like a shot put ball.
Yeah.
And defense was right there and caught it. You can't be making those mistakes.
And they blew a lead in Caleb Williams.
Those were 96 yards, 94 yards. Like that was a defensive win by the Bears. I think that, you know, it's probably going to be a closer game than that. But I just can't believe in this Titans offense. I know they have D-Hop, but when the guy running your team is making stuff like that happen, can't happen.
49ers at the Vikings. Remember last year, Brock Purdy had two chances at the end of the game to win it for Frisco and threw an interception to the same guy in both those situations. Sam Darnold resurrecting his career in Minnesota. They're not going to have J.J. McCarthy this year. I actually think that game might be rather interesting.
I agree with you. I think that's going to be a very good game. I think that, you know, you've got – anytime you've got Justin Jefferson on the field, did you see the report that the 49ers tried to trade for Justin Jefferson during the offseason?
Yeah, how does Brandon Ayuk feel about that?
Yeah, so I think this is going to be a good game. I think, look, we see that head coach up there for the Vikings is a very good offensive guy, and we saw what he turned, you know, Sam Darnold into last week. So, yeah, let's keep it going. I think it's going to be a very good game. That'll be the game that has the big screen on.
Giants and Commanders, won't talk about this game. I will say this, Brian Daboll sucks. He's a clown. The Giants need to fire him because Daniel Jones has more pick sixes than he actually has touchdown. Brian Daboll, not a fan of his. And listen, he was the worst offensive coordinator I've ever seen in the history of Kansas City when he was with that 2012 Chiefs. They didn't have a lead through 9 weeks into the season, tying the Buffalo Bisons from 1927, so that's not good. Browns at the Jags. Evan Ingram's not going to play in this game. As far as tonight's game, the Bears and the Texans, I'm actually intrigued by this. We'll see what Caleb Williams can do. Because C.J. Stroud, is he better than Caleb Williams? Well, you know, C.J. Stroud had a hell of a first year. I'm believing in the Texans, and usually I'm kind of like the show-me state. You wait and see what you do and back it up. But the Texans, watch this game because the Texans' weapons are really showing up, and I really like the Texans tonight.
Actually, you know what really impressed me last week with the Texans is how effective they were running the football. Like the whole
Joe Mixon was exactly crazy good for him.
Exactly. Like we saw that, you know, last year CJ Stroud proved that he could throw the ball, he could win in big games. I mean, he had a couple of really important drives last year, right? So, I mean, this was a guy that played, a rookie quarterback that played in a must-win game to go to the playoffs, and we knew that that part of the offense was going to be good. They signed a veteran running back, and I was like, let's see what he can do. And Joe Mixon, they pounded. Not only was he effective, but they kept running the football, and that's something that you just don't see when you have a really good quarterback. So, yeah, credit to the Texans for being able to do that.
That game's on tonight at 7:20, then Monday Night Football will be the 0-1 Falcons at the 1-0 Eagles. And I love when the Eagles lose. Nick Sirianni.
I despise that gentleman.
He was quality control in Kansas City. I mean, he's so cocky the way he's yelling at Chiefs fans. Now, screw the Eagles, man.
Yeah. Are you a believer in the Falcons or the Eagles offenses?
The Falcons, they've baffled me in the draft the last 2 years. Because Tyler Allgeier is a guy that I really liked and mocked the Chiefs, actually. He had a great first year, had over 1,000 yards, right? From BYU, the BYU run. Then they draft Bijan Robinson. Okay, you want a great backfield. Yeah, not so big on that. And then this year, they signed a Kirk Cousins that's 36 years old, coming off an Achilles with exactly one playoff win, and then they drafted Michael Penix. And people are already screaming for him to play.
It's so weird.
After all that money they gave Kirk.
Yeah, and it's not like
dumb.
It's not like it's a 1 year deal and that. No, it's a 3 year deal, and the first 2 years are fully guaranteed. So they're kind of stuck with him unless they want to do a Russell Wilson thing where they just cut him and eat a bunch of money. But what's the best part about having a rookie quarterback, Bink? It's the rookie deal. It's the ability to go out and spend your money on other things, and by sitting him, you're just wasting that opportunity that you have to put a super team around him. The whole offseason for the Falcons has been, it baffles me. The fact last year that they had one of the best running backs in the league in Bijan Robinson, and they couldn't, or they just refused to use him. What they've done with their tight end, Kyle Pitts, and just not using it. I mean, the offense for the Falcons over the last 4 or 5 years should have been one of the better ones in all of football, and they just can't seem to use their weapons.
Coming up next, we end every show on Sunday with our locks of the week. Both Quentin and I are 1-0 because Dallas was the underdog at -2.5. They outright destroyed the Browns, and you had the spread was 6.5 for the Lions game, and you had the Rams, so you came out as well. We were both 1-0.
I almost won one. I almost had them. They almost won the game, and they would have covered the spread, but they went to overtime.
So coming up next, we'll do that. We'll lead you right into Art Haynes talking Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs pregame next. And welcome back. This is where we do our upsets of the week. Jay Binkley, producer Quentin Morris. For some reason, I keep getting texts from Pittsburgh about talking about how good the Steelers are. Hey, Mike Tomlin's a great coach, man. Quarterback play is going to hurt this team, man. It's going to hurt the Steelers, 100%.
Hasn't that been like that for the last, since Ben Roethlisberger's arm turned into a spaghetti noodle?
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, thanks for chiming in, Pittsburgh. You know, good luck with the Royals today as they sweep Pittsburgh. The only good thing I think coming out of Pittsburgh is Pamonte Brothers and Three Rivers at PNC. Pamonte Brothers is a very good sandwich, by the way. Extremely good sandwich. All right, last week, I had the Cowboys upsetting the Browns. The wrong team was favored in that game. Plus, Dak Prescott, I just got his contract. What do we say? Start him. He's going to be fine because he's got the bag now, right? Which we know we probably had it, you know, well in advance. Also, what do we tell you? Tyreek Hill, you know, he gets pulled over. Told you to start him because he was going to have a Scottie Scheffler type of performance, and he did.
And I started both of them, and I won the league where I have both of them starting.
All right, your upset of the week this week, Quentin. Which direction are you going? Can you make it 2-0? That's the question.
Yeah, so I kind of already teased it already. The Colts are favored in Lambeau by 2.5 when I checked this morning. So I'm going to get the Packers to outright win that game.
2.5. It's 2.5 on Bet ESPN. Let me check the FanDuel on that Packers game. That is, it's 2.5 the same. And then DraftKings, let me check it just so we can just be 100% on board with all of it. The Packers game on DraftKings is, same as always.
Yeah.
Same there. So.
So I think the Packers are just going to outright win this game. I really like their head coach. He's a very offensive-minded head coach.
We need to determine what we're going to use. We're going to use FanDuel. We're going to use DraftKings. We're going to use the Bet ESPN.
I don't dealer's choice for you. It doesn't really matter to me. I think when I looked it up this
morning. Actually, they're plus three. The Packers are plus three against the Colts on DraftKings. 2.5 on FanDuel. Well, I'll let you do 2.5.
Okay. I mean, 2.5, 3. I'm still going to go with the Packers just winning that game. Look, Anthony Richardson is a phenomenal athlete and he does some amazing things.
Backup quarterback beating the Colts.
But there's not a ton of specialty on that Colts team. There's not a lot of wow factor on that team, especially on defense. And Anthony Richardson, let's be honest, he's basically a rookie quarterback. He's bound to make some mistakes, and I think that Packers defense is good enough to shut down a lot of those wow plays that Anthony Richardson may or may not have.
The Lions -8 against the Buccaneers on Bet ESPN. On FanDuel, we'll just use that one since that's what I allowed you to use. So I'll stay with the same odds on that one. 7.5 there. I will take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and that 7.5 points because, hey, I like the way the Bucs are playing. Baker Mayfield, I'm not as high on him as you are. You might just be high, but I'm not going that
way. Kansas.
But I am going Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this game. I'm taking the 7.5 points because DraftKings was the same odds as FanDuel, so let's go that.
That's a good pick just because blowouts in the NFL don't happen all that much. And so anytime you get a good team going up against a great team, a blowout is not likely to happen. So that's a pretty good pick by you.
And you know what the best thing about today was, Quinn? That I don't lose on Vern's show. Usually make that Sunday Royals pick. It's actually going on at the same time as this. But we're doing good in football, man. I mean, baseball hadn't been kind to me this year. Last year was, this year not so kind.
Well, the first half wasn't kind to you last year. You just started picking
second half
Bobby.
Strong. I'm a second half guy.
Yeah, you just started picking Bobby Witt Jr. every day, and it worked out for you.
Why wouldn't you do that? 100% do that. So which game are you looking forward to the most today? Chiefs Bengals?
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. The Sunday night game will be really good, though. That's the one. That'll be a really good one to stay up for.
This Chiefs Bengals game, I mean, nationally, everybody's, picking the Chiefs. In this game, I don't know if you saw ESPN the other day, just for fun, they put the Bengals up for everybody's pick. Actually, every single person went Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, this is one of those games. You let your playing do the talking. The Bengals, if they win this game, they will chirp because it'll be a regular season Super Bowl for them. And we've seen the Bills, these regular season Super Bowls against the Chiefs. Hell, the Ravens did it a few years ago when they beat the Chiefs in the regular season. Remember how Shedeur Sanders of Colorado said everybody were their Super Bowl every week, which isn't true because they're everybody's homecoming game at this point. Chiefs, man, going on a three-peat. They got a deal. They're not going to have Hollywood Brown going forward in the future. I look for a lot more passes out of the backfield with P. Ryan now that he's been here for a couple weeks. You'll see that. Pacheco, I like the Kansas City Chiefs today, 27-20 over the Bengals.
I'm going to take 24-20 Chiefs. I think the Bengals score a garbage time touchdown to make it closer than it really is.
Make it closer. We're not sweating it out. The cardiac units in Kansas City aren't full.
Yeah, people are going to feel pretty good about this.
Oh, man. Quentin Morris, great job. Thanks to Drew Nixon talking college football with us. I'll join Chiefs pregame about 12:45 talking some ball. Bernard Haynes, Chiefs Network, next.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.